Richard Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello and welcome to Wretched. My name is Todd Friel, your host, and Wretch, the song refers to. If you want to be upset, all you need to do is watch Fox News. But if you would like to be upsetting, then you've come to the right place. Oh, the difference a gerund makes. A book hot off the press, Upsetting the World. Talk about providence. The author of the book is sitting right here. This is Dr. John Krotz. He is a fellow with Fortas Institute. And this is basically your sermon, isn't it?
Yes.
If people didn't think pastors cheat, you took your sermon and turned it into a book. Well, that's smart, actually. How many hours do you spend preparing a sermon?
About 12.
Okay, so you pour it into a sermon, and then you translate it into a very helpful book on upsetting the world. So this means finding liberals and telling them about the fair tax. Did I read this right?
You need to read a little more closely, I think.
Okay, but so why do we want to upset people? What is the point of this book?
Well, in Acts 17, the early church was said to be upsetting the world. Those that upset the world have come here also. And we're just trying to make an impact for Christ. And as we share the great news about Jesus, sometimes people get upset.
They really do. I have noticed, though, on the university campuses, younger generation doesn't get nearly as upset as they once did. I find older generations, they get upset when you share law, gospel, repentance, faith. But the kids, the whippersnappers on the campuses, they don't get upset. They're actually rather intrigued. That's my experience. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that from others. Nevertheless, the gospel actually should upset people. In what way?
Well, obviously, if you are not responsive to the gospel, you have to hear the bad news before the good news makes sense. And right. The bad news is that we're sinners and we deserve the wrath of God. And of course, many people don't like that at all. but in the sense of it turns your whole world upside down as well. I mean, you were headed this way, and Jesus says to follow me, and it's a U-turn. It's going the other way. And so in multiple senses, you could see where the title of Upsetting the World could work.
And that's exactly what Paul was successful doing, going into a town. Sometimes, usually there were Jewish believers, because as you follow in Acts 17, yes, in Thessalonica, his pattern was to go to the synagogue,
right?
Find the Jewish people there, mm-hmm, and witness to them from the scriptures. Mm-hmm. What were the scriptures that Paul used? Was it Matthew, Luke? Which was his favorite that he used?
I'm sure he would have begun with the Old Testament scrolls,
yeah, right.
Right there.
Right. So he preached Jesus from the Old Testament. Where Absolutely. Might he have found him?
Oh, boy. Well, I'm getting close to a study at our church, and we're in the later part of Isaiah. Wow, Isaiah 53. Hmm. If you didn't know better, you'd think you were reading the New Testament. It's so clearly right. pointing to the right. Messiah yeah. to come.
Have you seen those videos? Some guy, I don't know who they are, but they go to Israel, or they live in Jerusalem, and they ask Jewish people to read Isaiah 53 without letting them know what it is. Mm. And then they ask them, so where do you think that comes from? And they will say, the New Testament.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
I think he probably quoted the Old Testament. He no doubt used the law to bring about the knowledge of sin. Mm. Any of the typology he could have used?
Certainly.
The themes?
Yeah, the pictures. The pictures all point to Christ.
Right.
Like John the Baptist said, right. Behold the Lamb of God who right. takes away the sin of the world.
Right.
So all of the pictures that were in the Old Covenant era pointed forward to Christ.
So he probably dipped into those
sure.
to reason with them from mm-hmm. the scriptures. The word reason is a fascinating one. Did you do a word study on reason from the scriptures? To dialegomai?
Yes.
It's not a chat. It's not like, yay, you need to repent. It's not that. But it's more forceful than just sharing your story.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, trying to push somebody from point A to point B in a progressive way. So he wasn't kind of a laid back. He was a little more forward without being obnoxious.
Yeah, I think intentional. He was very intentional with his conversations.
And all right. My favorite part is when you give examples of ways that we can upset the world. Where we can find a place to go witness. And I'm reading, and it's like, he did not go to a liberal church. He did not, and he brought his wife, and you went to a Bible study.
Oh, it was a Sunday school class.
Yeah.
And we picked one that seemed like it would have a possible opportunity to interact.
Okay.
And it was an amazing experience because they were just so lost. And you would hear good things said, bad things said. A couple of times my wife kicked me under the, you know, just stay, you know.
Calm down.
Yes. But at the end of the class, I asked if I could say something, of course, in that liberal progressive situation. Oh, John, you're welcome. You're one of us. Please share.
Right.
And I just was able to kind of pull themes that we had talked about together and point them to Christ. And then they said, well, that's wonderful. And now we're done. Let's all close in prayer and get in a circle and hold hands.
Oh, boy.
Oh, John, would you pray? Okay, so I prayed the gospel again.
Right.
I had three different people after the class come up and ask if I would move to that area and plant a church. They didn't even know I was a pastor. This was in another state. But it was uncanny, the hunger. These were people coming to church on a Sunday morning, so lost.
And didn't know what they were missing.
No.
But you went into a liberal church.
Yes.
To find some. You went into the synagogue.
Yeah, kind of like our version of the synagogue.
Man, I wish. Why didn't you take some video of that? That would have gone viral. And that's what it's all about. It's my contention. Depending on the demographic, there are still some people it's really hard. But there are a lot of places where we can go and find people willing to talk. I think universities are currently the sweetest places to go do that. The kids want to at least hear, and if nothing else, they just want an adult to pay attention to them. So I find that's a good place to upset the world. You, however, invade liberal church Sunday schools. Is that the only time you've done that?
I did it that time, yeah. I have some friends that have done it regularly.
Yeah.
And they said that in their experience, within 4 weeks, they've been asked to teach the class.
Really?
Every time. Now,
really?
I think it would be difficult to do in your own town. That's why we did it when we were on vacation in another state. If you're the known pastor of, you know, Faith Bible Church down the road, it could be a little awkward to show
up. These days in Atlanta, nobody lives here for more than like 6 months.
Yeah. It's a very transient place.
It is a transient place, but they get invited to teach the Sunday school.
Yes.
It's because people hear something different.
That's right. Well, I think of the Lord after the Sermon on the Mount, where the people said, he's speaking with authority.
Yeah, right.
This is different.
Right.
This is not like the scribes and Pharisees were used to. Right. And when people hear the life of the reality of the message of Jesus, when they're used to just hearing maybe some feel good.
Well, probably social gospel.
Yes.
Which is no gospel at all.
Right.
It's just law.
Right.
Really. Go
keep working.
Go dig a well. Go do stuff. Was just in an Uber and asked the Uber driver, how do you plan on getting to heaven? Well, loving my neighbor and you know, hoping the balance sheet is, you know, weighed out. And I focused actually on loving your neighbor because that's a law.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds nice. But it's a law, and these people that are in liberal churches are just weighed down by it. Okay, so that's one place you go. Another place that you mentioned in your book, Upsetting the World, bookstores.
Yes.
Libraries. What do you do there?
Well, there used to be Christian bookstores that you
they're
could...
They're gone.
They're almost all gone.
Yeah. Oh, but that's...
Sad.
I know why you would go there. Because there are a lot of people who didn't really know much that
right.
go to Christian
no,
bookstores.
No, that's absolutely true. That was actually my job growing up. You know, some guys threw newspapers. I worked in a Christian bookstore.
Yeah.
So I got to interact with a lot of people in right. Christian bookstores. But now... The religious sections in some of the larger bookstores, like Barnes & Noble or others, they have a pretty good sized mm-hmm. religious section. Well, people, I mean, there are good books in those sections, but how would you know? Because they're surrounded by terrible books.
Right.
And people are picking and choosing. And of course, the workers are usually nowhere to be seen. So you just kind of hang out a little bit there, and it is not hard to strike up a conversation. Now, here in the South, one of the things we deal with is so many people think that they're Christians
That's right.
because of the traditional church background or that kind, or parents or grandparents.
We will continue with our very special guest, Dr. John Krotz, pastoring for 65 years now.
Almost 30.
Almost 30 years. Same church.
Yes.
In Sharpsburg, Georgia.
By God's grace.
Well done, sir. We'll continue upsetting the world next on Wretched.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. And the reasons are there. Logic, morality, the very laws that make science work, and every single one of them points back to a creator. And when you give kids that, faith stops being something they hope is true and becomes something they know is true. And it also spreads because they share it clearer with everyone around them. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. They need real ground to stand on, not just a good feeling, and that's what Dr. Lyle is doing. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means? Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that. Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's not seminary-level memorization. It's just enough to understand what your pastor's talking about, to get more out of commentaries and footnotes, and do your own word studies so you know exactly what God intended to communicate. There's 10 lessons. It's perfect for individuals and families and Sunday school classes and homeschoolers or just anyone preparing for a more serious study down the road. This is the language that God Himself chose to write your New Testament, and learning it, even the basics, will change the way you study Scripture. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes, repentance or destruction. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched. The question is not, should you upset the world, but where exactly can you go about doing that? Dr. John Krotz, your book, Tidy, Easy, Ba-boom, ba-bee, you've got it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, which if you could have maybe had some pictures and connect the dots, that would make it even better for me. But nevertheless, just a helpful little guide. You know, I've actually discovered in the South, at least, almost everybody goes to church. And I think one of the most innocuous questions is, okay, so you're from the South. So you went to church as a kid. Where'd you go? You're there. Do you agree that the hardest part, typically for me, the witness encounter is going from, so how's about the Atlanta Braves? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes. You know, how do you get there?
Pivot. The gospel pivot.
The gospel.
Yes.
The gospel pivot.
Absolutely.
But in the South, I don't find it to be. Go to California. It's hard. Minnesota. It's hard because people will actually get upset with you.
Yes.
But not in the South. So basically, we're without excuse.
That's absolutely true.
All right. So bookstores, libraries. You've also gone when sometimes a prosperity preacher is in town, people who are going to have their ears tickled. You are one of those people out on the sidewalk. I would have never guessed that.
They're actually paying money to go see some of these guys.
Right.
Become more prosperous. But anyway, it's quite amazing that, again, the people getting off of the subway, they're right downtown Atlanta to hear the big famous prosperity preacher. They're certainly in the mindset of religious things and hearing their famous favorite preacher.
Yeah.
And it just worked really well to ask some questions to engage them, just as you didn't have very long. They're making their way in. But once again, it's so sobering how lost they are.
Yeah. You know, the only downside that I see to that kind of evangelism, though, okay, so you go to the big auditorium, probably in downtown Atlanta for this, but your church isn't a commute, and
that's
you
right.
can't send those people to your church.
Right.
That's and believe me, I do it. I go to the campus, but that's the one grievous part. It's like, now that we've witnessed to you, we want to get you into a church. All right, you've been pastoring for 30 years. In your experience, your standard evangelical, do they love the local church?
No, I think a lot of people think that they can be Christians without the church, or have a real consumer mindset toward the church where you can pick and choose what you like or what your kids like or something else, some other reason. But in terms of really understanding what a healthy church is and loving it and engaging with the church, I think that's actually more rare than we would like to think.
Okay, so why should people not just attend, love the local church? What is there to love with all of those people? They're so annoying there.
Well, if you join in, you're just adding to the number, right? We're just forgiven sinners. But we're connected. We should love the church because the Lord loves the church. And Christ, God called the church his very household, his flock. We are his people. And he didn't make us to live the Christian life alone. He made us to live in a network of like-minded fellow believers, helping each other out. Christianity is a team sport.
Right.
So if you were playing football or a team sport like football or baseball, and you just wanted to do it all by yourself, no matter how good you were, it wouldn't work.
That's actually not a terrible illustration.
Thanks.
Okay, I've got a football. I don't want to be with those other people because they agitate me. Sometimes they fumble. So what do I do? I hike the ball to myself, throw the ball and run down the field and catch it while I'm blocking it. You just can't do it.
No matter how good you are.
No matter how good you are. And I think that most people have probably been burned to some degree for different reasons. It could be their own making.
Yes.
Or it could have just been some bad Christians did some bad things. What would you say to those folks to help them overcome their aversion to getting plugged into a local church?
Well, obviously, that's going to be person to person, depending on the situation. I might say different things. But I think about the churches in Revelation 2 and 3. So you ever wonder what Jesus would think about your church? Mm. Well, those were seven real life churches in the first century, and those messages were straight from Jesus to those churches. Some of those churches were bad. They were very bad. Jesus had some very strong things to say about them. You've got Jezebel in your church, but you also have some good people. And to me, one of the big takeaways is the Lord expects us to be in church, even if it's not a great church, even if we've got some bad apples, because it is his bride. It is the team he wants us to play for.
You know, there's going to be tares.
That's right.
The best of church has tares. So it we should really anticipate. Because I think it's almost like marriage being a school of character. There are annoying people at church. And I always have to remember, whenever there's somebody who annoys me, it's like, you know what? I probably annoy them. Because if I think they're like strange or not quite in the style that I'd like to, my lifestyle, they're thinking the exact same thing about me.
Right.
And that's the point.
Yes.
We get together and learn how to love one another.
That's right. That's right. Have you ever thought about the weaker brother principle, some of those areas that the Bible doesn't spell out?
Right.
Well, if God wanted to, he could have written a lot bigger book and told us everything.
Right.
I actually think God intentionally gave us some of those areas.
Right.
So that we will have to love each other, even though we're different.
Yeah.
And come to different conclusions.
I love it when people say, you know, the church, first of all, it's not a building, John. You've heard that. But I just want to do it at home like the first century. And they've got this ideal of the first century church. And it's like, I don't think I wanted to go to the first church of Corinth.
Right, right.
That was not the ideal. Church is always messy.
That's right.
But I think that's by design.
Yes. Yeah. We're like, I was thinking of a book written called A Marriage Book. What Did You Expect? You
know, oh, right.
You know, you're a sinner.
Yeah, who wrote that?
Paul Tripp.
Oh, was that? Okay.
You're a sinner. Yeah. You're married to a sinner. You live in a fallen world. What did you expect?
Exactly.
And in the same way, okay, church is the plan, but what did you expect? We're all works in progress and helping each other to grow, learning how to love, older, younger, all together. If everybody was exactly the same, how many of us would even be necessary? We need each other
to be stretched
and sharpened.
John, I said that there's about 100 reasons the church is a safe place, but what might be our reason that people should be in church for the sake of their safety?
Well, just to be under the regular preaching of God's word is going to be safe, because that's going to help us to learn more about God and his character. It's going to be applied to us and convicting us, helping us to be the men and women that the Lord wants us to be.
All right, my turn. I think about the woman who's struggling with a husband who's not, he's not cherishing his bride. And he's kind of scary even. Where is a woman to go? Her elders in the local church. But if you're not a member of a local church, you really shouldn't anticipate that group to be helping you when you're not underneath their authority.
That's right.
Accountability. And I've seen that many times. Mm-hmm. Prodigal kids, when you're discouraged, other people can see you and maybe point out some things that are actually happening in your life that are really good things. Mm-hmm. There are so many benefits to the local church. All right, what would be another benefit of being in a local church?
Well, I think a lot of churches, good, bad, and ugly, you can kind of make work when everything in your life is going well. But when the wheels fall off, when the hard things come, you even already gave some examples of that. You need to be surrounded by people who are godly and have a deep walk with the Lord. And so being in a healthy church is going to be a vital thing for you during the most difficult times of your life.
If you get goofy theologically, they can rescue. If you start falling into, you start diving into sin. Your church is going to rescue you because you're not spiritually safe alone. I think of the loneliness epidemic.
Yes.
That is so prevalent. Well, okay, they might get up your nose a little bit, but you won't be lonely in a local church because that's God's people assembling. I've just seen over the years that people aren't safe in their walk. They're vulnerable to worldly teachings, false teachers coming along, not being able to sort through family. It's just, in other words, we should be loving your church.
Absolutely.
Dr. John Krotz will help you if you do not love your local church. Please find the best one you can. It's not going to be perfect. Find the best one you can. Join it and see for yourself. You'll love it. Next on Wretched.